నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాదీ పశ్చత్తాదిశతా వినే శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ కీ జయ్. హరే కృష్ణ. సో హౌ ఇస్ ఎవ్రీబడి డూయింగ్? హరే కృష్ణ. థ్యాంక్ యూ. వెల్కమ్ టు అవర్ సండే ఫీస్ట్ ప్రోగ్రామ్. వేర్ ఎవర్ యు గో on Sundays, you'll find in every ISKCON temple there is this program, which is actually called the Sunday Love Feast. Yeah, Sunday Love Feast. Only in some Muslim countries where the holiday is actually not on Sunday but on Friday, we hold this feast on Fridays, like in Dubai, in this Emirate countries and Middle Eastern countries, in Bangladesh, Pakistan. We have this program. We conduct this program on Fridays because on Fridays the holiday there. You know how this Sunday feast program started? How many of you know how this Sunday feast program started? No one. How many of you want to know? Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, when he came to America in 1965, how many of you know how Srila Prabhupada came to America? Most of you know, yeah. Srila Prabhupada came to America at the age of 70. In a cargo ship named Jaladuta, and on the way he had two heart attacks. He came to America penniless. He didn't even know where to go, where to stay. He didn't even know whether he would have any food to eat here. In such uncertain condition, Srila Prabhupada came to America. Why did Srila Prabhupada come to America? Srila Prabhupada wanted to give us informations about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That reminds me, during the first public program that Srila Prabhupada was giving, a program was arranged for Srila Prabhupada, and a handful of people came to listen to him. Srila Prabhupada's opening speech was, "I haven't come here to teach you anything new. I have come here to remind you what you have forgotten." Actually, we all know Krishna. We all are his parts and parcels. But we forgot him. And due to our forgetfulness of Krishna, we are suffering in this material nature. So Prabhupada came to relieve us from our suffering condition by reminding us about our eternal loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada knew only one person, or Prabhupada was aware of only one person in America. His name was Gopal Agarwal, who sponsored his U.S. visa. He never met him. He was the son of one of his acquaintances from India. Prabhupada requested him and his father. Prabhupada requested his father, and father actually arranged for his son to sponsor for Srila Prabhupada to get the U.S. visa. That was the only person that Prabhupada knew. So just before boarding the ship, Srila Prabhupada sent a letter to him. On such and such date, in such and such ship, he was going to arrive in New York port. And fortunately, that person made some arrangement for someone to receive Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada went to where he used to live, in a remote, small little town called Butler in Pennsylvania. Had he not have responded, no one knows what would have happened, what Srila Prabhupada would have done. He didn't have any money. He had only 40 rupees in his pocket. And what is 40 rupees in USA? First of all, this rupees could not be exchanged in dollars. So this is how Srila Prabhupada arrived in America. He stayed in Butler, Pennsylvania for a few days. And then he came to New York. During that time, he got to know one person, one Dr. Mishra, one Indian gentleman who was a doctor, but who opted for becoming a yoga teacher. And he opened an ashram called Ananda Ashram. And he invited Srila Prabhupada after their few correspondence. He invited Prabhupada that, yes, you can come and stay in my ashram for some time. So Prabhupada stayed there for a short while. And in the meantime, Prabhupada got to know a few young boys. And when Prabhupada told them that he was looking for a place to move into, those young boys said, well, you should have told us a few days earlier. Because one boy moved out of his loft and went to San Francisco. So we could have arranged that place for you to rent. And the boy who rented that place, he was also from the same group. So they arranged, or rather, it was arranged that Srila Prabhupada could share the loft with him. That young boy's name was David Allen. So, probably you remember that those days, many of the young boys were searching for a positive alternative through a culture which became known as hippie culture or counterculture. And they were trying to find happiness through sex, drugs, and rock and roll. While I was driving from the airport today, I saw one billboard announcing something like, and it says, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. So I just remember that. So this boy also was addicted to drugs, LSD. But he gave up coming in contact with Srila Prabhupada. He gave up his addiction to this hypnotic drug, or which was known as psychedelic drug. And he became so fond of Srila Prabhupada that Prabhupada once wrote to one of his godbrothers in India that this David Allen probably would become his first disciple in America. But unfortunately, this David Allen went back to bad association and he started to take drugs again, LSD again. And one day when he was tripping in LSD, when he was under the influence of LSD, he kind of became insane and he attacked Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, a 70-year-old man, climbed down, rushed down the stairs, came to the street. The only place that he had, that also he lost now. The few of the young boys that Srila Prabhupada met at that time, one was Michael Grant. So Prabhupada called him Michael Grant and told him what happened. So Michael himself could not arrange for Srila Prabhupada's accommodation at the time, but he phoned one of his friends and arranged for Srila Prabhupada to stay with him for the time being. And then Srila Prabhupada, then they actually arranged this place for Srila Prabhupada, which became the first center of ISKCON in America. Not only America, the first center of ISKCON in the world. That is 26 Second Avenue. How many of you have seen 26 Second Avenue? Very good, Hare Krishna. So, this is a small little storefront. And the name, there was a sign there, the previous shop, that was a curio shop before. And the name was The Matchless Gift. Srila Prabhupada kept that sign there, The Matchless Gift, because it was quite appropriate. He came to give the matchless gift to America. And at the back of that storefront, in the same complex, in the same building, there was an apartment building, and Srila Prabhupada, rather these boys rented one apartment for Srila Prabhupada on the second floor. So this is how Srila Prabhupada started his activities in America. In 26 Second Avenue, Srila Prabhupada, every evening, he used to speak on Bhagavad Gita. And before giving the class, he used to sing the Hare Krishna chant, Hare Krishna Mahamantra chanting. So those young boys and girls were not so interested in Bhagavad Gita, but they loved Swami's music. So that's why they mainly used to come to the programs. And then Srila Prabhupada saw how these young boys and girls, although coming from affluent background, but they have accepted a bohemian life. They were living on the streets practically. They didn't have proper food to eat. So Srila Prabhupada started to invite them sometimes for having prasad, especially on Sundays. On Sundays, Srila Prabhupada in the morning, he used to go to Chinatown, which was close to this Bowery, and there he used to buy various vegetables. Chinatown is the place where you get various kinds of vegetables, exotic vegetables, or you can say Chinese and Indian vegetables. And Prabhupada himself used to cook. And then in the evenings, they used to come and took prasad after the class. And this is how this program started. Sunday love feast. Prabhupada not only used to, although he did not have money, whatever little money Prabhupada had, with that he used to buy the vegetables and grains and other ingredients. Then he used to cook. He used to offer them to Krishna. And they used to do the serving. These young boys and girls used to serve, take prasad, and after that they used to leave. And Prabhupada, this 70-year-old man, alone had to clean the place and wash the pots. Why did Srila Prabhupada do that? A 70-year-old man, why he was doing all that? Simply due to his love for them. Simply, he wanted to give them the love of Krishna. Simply because he wanted to show them what actual love is. They were searching for love, and Srila Prabhupada showed what actual love was. And that is how this program became known as the Love Feast, Sunday Love Feast. As I mentioned, that Prabhupada's, the first opening speech in his, during his first lecture was, I haven't come here to teach you something new. I have come here to remind you about what you have forgotten. Now, what did we forget? We forgot Krishna. Because of this forgetfulness, because of turning our face away from Krishna, we looked at Krishna's illusory energy called Maya. And this illusory energy of Krishna, which is inferior by nature, makes us feel that we are the enjoyer. We are coming from Krishna's superior energy. And this material nature or Maya is Krishna's inferior energy. Although we are minute, but we are coming from Krishna's superior energy. Aparayam itastannang prakritiṃ viddhi me param. Jiva bhutang mahabaho jajedan dharjate jagat. Krishna is saying that in Bhagavad Gita. This material nature, Krishna is saying, is his inferior external energy, external potency. But the living entities, jiva bhutang, they are coming from, we are coming from Krishna's superior nature. Prakritiṃ viddhi me param, superior nature. Therefore, as soon as we come in contact with this material nature, we develop a tendency to lord over this material nature, because it is a natural tendency of the superior to dominate over the inferior. And as a result of that, our actual identity becomes perverted. Actually, we all are Krishna's servants. Jiver sarup hoy, Krishner Nityadas. Living entities are Krishna's eternal servants. We are actually servants of Krishna. Our constitutional position is that we are all His servants. But by coming in contact with Krishna's inferior energy, inferior nature, material nature, we develop a tendency to lord over. Instead of becoming a servant, we try to become the Lord and Master. And that causes our first material bondage, first material covering, which is called false ego. It's a substance, it's a material element, a subtle material element. Due to this false ego, we forget our actual identity and develop a mistaken identity, a false identity, wrong identity. And that is the false ego. In Sanskrit, it's called ahankar. And then our consciousness, then we begin to consider how to enjoy this material nature. We became the enjoyer and we start to plan how to enjoy this material nature. And that gives us the second covering of intelligence. And then through the mind, the third covering, our consciousness continuously flows towards the material direction. In this way, through these three subtle elements, mind, intelligence and false ego, we develop a subtle body. Our first material body, the subtle material body. And then according to the shape of the subtle body, the material nature awards us a gross body made of five gross elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. This body is the gross body made of five gross elements. But within this body, there is a subtle body, the mind, intelligence and false ego. For example, when you fall asleep and you dream, at that time you are not aware of your gross body, this body, but you are dwelling in another body. When you are dreaming, are you there? If I ask you the question, when you are dreaming, aren't you there with your body? Don't you have a body at that time? Is that this body or another body? And that is the subtle body. So this is how, with this subtle and gross bodies, we became bound, we became imprisoned in this material nature. And Srila Prabhupada came to remind us who we actually are. Are we this body? Are we this gross body? No. Are we our subtle body? No. Then who are we? We are spirit souls. We are spiritual beings. How many of you are aware of this fact? How many of you agree with this? Please raise your hands. Very good. So, our real identity we have lost. Srila Prabhupada came to remind us about our real identity. Now consider how we forget our actual identity. Because we turned away from Krishna. Is that point clear? Instead of looking towards Krishna, the moment we looked away from Krishna, we became entangled in this material nature. We became entrapped. And what is happening? through this gross and subtle body what is happening. Why does a prisoner becomes imprisoned? Why does a prisoner become imprisoned in a prison? To get punished. Why the punishment? To rectify his perverted mentality. Similarly, we all are imprisoned in this material nature to rectify our mistaken identity and become situated in our actual identity. Who are we in our actual identity? We all are? And those spirit souls, yes, some said that, some said spirit souls, some said servants of Krishna. We are, both are correct. We are spirit souls, but this, as spirit souls, we all are servants of Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada came here to remind us, we all are servants of Krishna. We are not this body, we are spirit souls. And as spirit souls, we are servants of Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada is taking us back to our actual identity. That also reminds me of another statement of Srila Prabhupada. Once Srila Prabhupada, when Srila Prabhupada was in New York, some Catholic priests came to see Srila Prabhupada. And they asked him, why are you converting these Christian boys and girls into Hindus? Prabhupada responded, no, I am not converting the Christians into Hindus or Muslims into Jews. I am simply making better Christians out of the Christians, better Jews out of the Jews, better Muslims out of the Muslims, and better Hindus out of the Hindus. Srila Prabhupada did not come to change our so-called religion. Srila Prabhupada came to situate us in our actual identity. And that is the main purpose of all religions. All religions are speaking about God and showing us how we can become related to Him, how we can go back to Him. Isn't that the main purpose of all religions? All religions are speaking about God and showing us how to love Him or how to become situated in our actual relationship with Him. And Srila Prabhupada gave that information in the most perfect way. Srila Prabhupada pointed out, that reminds me of another incident. Once some reporters in New York was asking Srila Prabhupada about what his mission was. And Srila Prabhupada pointed out that he came to remind us who is God. And then he said, if you want to know about God, you can come to me. I can tell you what his name is. I can tell you what he looks like. I can tell you where he lives, what he does. In this way I can give you all informations about God. If you want to know God, come to me and I will show you who he is. Although various religions do speak about God, but the informations are not very extensive. Christianity speaks about God, but no information about who he is, what he does, where he lives, what he looks like. No information. God the Father, love thy Father, Lord the God, etc. But who is that God the Father? But when it comes to it, Srila Prabhupada is saying, who is God the Father? What he looks like, what he does, all the informations are there. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada is actually giving us the perfect informations. How? Because he has seen him, he has seen the truth, he has seen the absolute truth. And that is why he can so confidently show us who he is. And those who are following Srila Prabhupada's teachings, they also naturally have a perfect understanding who God is. He is Krishna. Why? Because he is all attractive. It's not Krishna is a Hindu god. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is one without a second. If he is the Supreme, how many Supremes can be there? Can there be many Supreme? Supreme, the definition of Supreme is no one is equal to him or no one is superior to him. No one is superior to him and no one is equal to him. So that Supreme Personality of Godhead is one without a second. And he is all attractive because he is the most beautiful. He is the supreme beauty. He is supremely powerful. He is supremely famous. He is supremely opulent. He is supremely wise. And he is supremely renounced. The word Krishna actually means that all attractive. And this all attractive features are known as Bhagavan. Bhaga, the word Bhaga means Aisharjasya Samagrasya. One who possesses all the opulence, all the wealth. And there may be some wealthy persons, but can anybody claim that he has all the wealth? No. Somebody may be powerful, but can anybody claim that he has all the power? Someone may be beautiful, but can anyone claim that he has all the beauty? Similarly, all the fame and all renunciation. What to speak of all six? No one has even any one of these six. No one possesses any one of these six. Now, is there anyone who possesses all these six qualities to an absolute extent? Yes. The Vedas are giving us that information. And that is, Ekam Eva Advitya Parama Purushaha. Ekam means one. Advitya means without a second. Param means supreme. Purusha means personality. That supreme personality who is one without a second is that all attractive supreme personality of Godhead. And in Sanskrit, that all attractive is called Krishna. Just as in Latin or even in English you use that expression, omnipotent. What is the meaning of the word omnipotent? All-powerful. Who is all-powerful? Who is all-powerful? God. Omniscient. One who knows everything. Who knows everything? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as in English or in Latin you have this expression, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. indicating God. Similarly, Krishna means omni-attractive, all-attractive. And that is why the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna. Now you tell me, is Krishna an Hindu god? Or a Muslim god? Or so forth? He is the one without a second Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all the religions are speaking about him. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada told them that I am not converting anyone from one religion to other, rather I am situating them in their actual religion. For that matter, I can say I was born in a Hindu family. But I didn't know what Hinduism is until I came to Srila Prabhupada. And today, I understand what Hinduism stands for. And similarly, those who are coming from Christian background, they also understand what Jesus' actual teaching is, Muhammad's actual teaching is, Moses' actual teachings is. And that is why this is the only religion that everyone is supposed to follow. And when one follows that, then there is no discrimination between Hinduism, Christianity, Islam, and so forth. Rather, Prabhupada once mentioned that if Jesus Christ was here, Moses was here, and Muhammad was here, we could have had a wonderful discussion. There wouldn't have been any disagreement. There would have been perfect understanding, just as when a group of scientists sit together and discuss, they have perfect understanding among, and they share their knowledge, they share their understanding. So, this is what ISKCON stands for. This is why Srila Prabhupada came to America, and that is why Srila Prabhupada started this Sunday feast. Now tell me, these informations, did you get these informations in your school? Did any school give that information? Any college give that information? Any university give that information? No. The only institution that is giving that information is ISKCON. So if you want to know about God, this is the right place. Please come here and enrich yourself with this most important knowledge. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question? Please feel free to ask. Yes. Forgetfulness of the superior energy. You see, because we turned our face away from Krishna, the answer to that why we'll find only when we go there. Because the reason of our turning our face away from Krishna lies there. So unless and until we go there, we won't be able to understand that. Right? So, any other question? Okay. Yes?
Hello. I wanted to ask, what was the five liberations Prabhupada was talking about?
The five what?
Liberations.
Five what? Liberation?
Mm.
Liberation, five kinds of liberation?
Mm.
Okay, very good. Where did you find that?
It was a lecture, but I only got up to the second
one. Okay, very good. Very good. The five kinds of liberations are known as Sajujya, Samipya, Sarupya, Salakya, and Shashti. First of all, liberation means freedom from bondage, isn't it? When you are imprisoned, then only there is a question of becoming free. Does a free man have to become free? Only one who is bound, he has to become free. So we are bound by this, bound in this prison house of material nature. So there are five ways, or there are five different situations when you become free from this bondage. One is, beyond this material nature is the spiritual energy which is known as Brahma Jyoti, spiritual light. This is the material nature? Okay, let's put it this way. This material nature is in darkness. You agree with that? Isn't this place in darkness? Fortunately, the sun comes up, the moon is there, and fire is there, there is some light. Otherwise, this place is in total darkness. Right? Now, beyond this world of darkness, when you go out of this world of darkness, there's a world of light. That's the spiritual world. The spiritual world is full of light. And that light is the spiritual energy that is emanating from the body of the Lord, which is known as Brahma Jyoti. Right? And then beyond that is the abode of the Lord, where the Lord lives. That's the spiritual world, or called Vaikuntha. The world where there is no anxiety. Again, this material world is a world of anxiety. Isn't everyone full of anxiety? But that world is the world where there is no anxiety. Vaikuntha. So, it's a planet. It's a spiritual planet. It's a spiritual abode of the Lord. So, when one becomes free from this material bondage, then he goes to this world of light. He becomes, and if he mistakenly thinks that he is that light, he identifies himself with the light, that liberation is called Sajujya, becoming one with that spiritual light or Brahma Jyoti. But then when one goes to the abode of the Lord, he gets an opportunity to be in the same place, same planet as the Lord. That is called Salokya, liberation. And there, he may get the opportunity to stay very close to the Lord. That is called Samipya, liberation. There, he may get the same form as the Lord. That is called Sarupya, liberation. And there, he may have the same opulence as the Lord. That is called Sasti, liberation. Did you count how many you got? No, five. See, okay, it's like this. To be in that spiritual light. Then, in the abode of the Lord, be in the same planet of the Lord. Two. Right? Be close to the Lord. Three. Have the same form as the Lord. And has the same opulence as the Lord. Five. So these are the five kinds of liberation. So you want to be liberated? Answer me. You ask me a question, I give the answer. No, I am asking you a question. Wonderful. So you can come. How often do you come to this temple? Okay, so come whenever you can come. And then, if you want, you can become one of us. Then, you will become liberated completely. Thank you. Yes? Give her the mic.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. I had once heard Prabhupada, obviously on video, not in person, say that Jesus was an avatar of some sort. Could you expand on that?
Yeah, very good. Very good point. Yeah, avatar means the law, when the Lord descends in this material nature, that is called avatar or descension of the Lord. He is there in the spiritual world, and when he comes here, he comes here from time to time, and there are six different ways that the Lord descends. And one of them is called Shaktavesh or empowered incarnation. When a living entity becomes empowered by the Lord, that is called empowered incarnation. And yes, Prabhupada mentioned that Jesus is an empowered incarnation of the Lord. Thank you. Does it answer your question, or do you want to know more? Yeah. Yeah.
To other people that I know, and also the deities, because in Christianity and Judaism, it's they speak of idols. And when I try and explain to them that this is how Krishna wants us to see him, just like my husband had said to me, that Prabhupada had said that if you have a proper mailbox, postal service,
yes,
that
yes.
is approved by by the government, then you can mail a proper letter.
Right.
And this way, this is our way of properly seeing God.
Right. Yeah.
But it's very hard to explain to, I have a problem explaining to people who don't understand.
Yeah, that's why, you see, it's so important to hear from proper source. To learn, meaning learn from the proper authoritative source. Like, if we want to learn something, how do we get the information? We have to go to a person who knows, and he teaches us. So that's why, you see, if anybody wants to know about God, then he'll have to go to somebody who knows him. And especially when God himself is speaking about himself, then the understanding becomes flawless, perfect. And that is like, see, for example, Prabhupada did not invent anything new and gave it. Prabhupada was simply quoting from the Vedic scriptures. Prabhupada was presenting his message through Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam and those literatures. And he is simply showing us what those literatures are saying, and he was explaining them. So that is the thing, like, you know, first of all, we have to be willing to know the subject. If somebody doesn't want to know or understand it, how can we possibly make him understand? That becomes the problem. So unless and until we develop the interest, there is no way we can find out. And when we want to find out, then we also have to go to the proper source to get the information from. And here, if anybody wants to know about God, the perfect source is Srila Prabhupada. He is giving us. Like, I mean, let's honestly consider, did we really know about God? At least I can say, I didn't know who God was until I came in contact with Srila Prabhupada's teachings. And today I can say, yes, I know him. Why? Because he gave us the perfect information. Sometimes people may ask, have you seen him? Our answer is, seeing him is not important. Understanding him is what is important. Recognizing him is what is important. There had been many demons who saw Krishna. Right? But they didn't accept him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, we have to recognize him first. Like, you know, Duryodhana. Krishna was dealing with him. Krishna was there. Krishna was even advising him. Still, he wouldn't listen to him. So that shows that seeing him is not so important. Recognizing him, who he is, that's what is important. Like, for example, say if President Obama walks in here, and if nobody knows who he is, they will think that he is like an ordinary person. But those who know him, they say, oh, Mr. Obama is here. Like, when I was coming here, Subhas Prabhu told me that a very famous movie star is here. And so many people saw her, didn't even notice. They thought that she's another visitor who came. But because he knew, you know, he pointed out there's a famous movie star. So that's how, you see, just seeing him is not important. But recognizing who he is, that's what is important. And when you recognize him, then seeing doesn't become important. Rukmini did not see Krishna, but he heard Narad Muni speaking about Krishna to her father. And just by hearing about Krishna, she fell in love. So much so that she felt that if she doesn't get Krishna, she's not going to marry anybody, she'd rather give up her life. Just by hearing about him. So that's why hearing is so important. When you become interested about him, then the next step is to hear about him. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, when you explained about the five types of liberation, so they were all when a person reached in Vaikuntha near Krishna and getting close association, opulences. But what happens, like without going to Vrindavan, he got all the five types of liberation. What does he get when he reaches
out of
Vrindavan?
These five kinds of liberation, one is in Vaikuntha. Four of them are in Vaikuntha. Right? But one is out of Vaikuntha. That is Sajujya. Sajujya, merging in the light, the spiritual effulgence of the Lord. That is called Sajujya. But besides that one, four out of five are Vaikuntha liberation.
And what happens in Vrindavan flow?
Vrindavan is beyond Vaikuntha.
So what does one get?
There you become either friends of Krishna. There is no consideration of having the same form as Krishna. Because there only Krishna looks like Krishna. And they may have, you know, similar about... Anyway, like they get... That can be considered as two other liberations, as one is as Salokya, being in the same planet with Krishna, and Samipya, being close to Krishna. But two other ones, like Sarupya and Shashti, is not available in Vrindavan. Because no one there looks like Krishna, whereas in Vaikuntha, everyone looks like Narayan. And Shashti, similar opulence, there Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and everyone else is either his friend or father or mother or girlfriend. Thank you. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande.
So please don't forget